Over the next number of weeks, we will, in our scripture reading, read Hebrews 11 as it sets the stage and tone for Hebrews 12. But your assignment today, should you choose to accept it, is over this next week at some point to read through Hebrews 11 on your own and also Hebrews 12. So this next little mini-series that we are going to engage in will probably take us about 5 weeks up to the Thanksgiving. That's the tentative plan at this point. So as we gathered here again this morning, we once again, and this is front and center in my mind after Reg's funeral yesterday, but we remind ourselves that we are, all of us, a wee closer to glory than we were last week. We're not here by accident. And so this morning is another divine appointment, an opportunity to be about the gospel, to receive the word of God, which we are told in Hebrews chapter 4 is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Did you know that Hebrews is actually a glorious sermon manuscript declaring to us that Jesus is greater than all, exceedingly majestic and worthy of our worship and pursuit? If someone were to ask you, what are the most Christ-centered books in the Bible, what would be your first response? Do you know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, and that Colossians and Hebrews are the most Christ-centered, Christocentric books that we have in the Bible? And yes, we know, of course, the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is about Jesus Christ. But these books are unique in their presentation of what God has done through Jesus. So here we are this morning about to jump into the conclusion. We're jumping into the application of the message. And so this morning we're going to long jump all the way from Hebrews 1 to Hebrews chapter 12. And our text this morning is an incredibly well-known, incredibly rich passage that speaks to the very core of our faith, challenging us to persevere, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, to persist in this marathon adventure of faith that we are on. This passage this morning is one of the passages that seared itself into my memory as a youngster. It probably was one of the first passages where I had the confidence to take a pen and a ruler and actually highlight in my Bible something. That's not a bad thing, but it took a step like, oh, this is the Word of God. Am I allowed to write in it? Yes, yes, you certainly can. You're allowed to have as many Bibles in your lifetime and wear them out, highlighting. It was actually the thing that most attracted me to Jen when we first met. Remember college classroom, the seating assignment, and there's this young girl from Regina seated next to me, and I just couldn't help staring at her Bible. It was so marked in and written. It was like, ding, 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 heavenly wisdom. Hey, Craig, here's someone to take note of. Yes, Lord, I am listening. I better learn her name and where she's from. Bless her. I'm not speaking out of turn. She can verify that. Wow, that was not in my notes. It was simply Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 seared itself in my memory as a youngster. But here, the athletic imagery is vivid. And you and I all know that this past summer, and even very recently, the Paralympics have been happening. But the world's greatest arrived in Paris this year to compete against one another. And so let's use those circumstances, another Olympic year, to be encouraged to run this race of faith with endurance. So please join me in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Our passage this morning reads this way. Therefore, this is why we're going to read chapter 11 the next number of weeks. Because therefore, all that is stated in chapter 11, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Ooh, that is a potently power-packed sentence. And we've got lots of them in the Bible. Looking at the English translation, I'm like, yep, comma, 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 still going, comma, 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 comma. Oh, there's the period. Right at the end of verse 2, that is a potently power-packed sentence. And as the application, as the conclusion part of the message to the Hebrews, it paints a vivid picture of the Christian life as a race. Not a sprint, not a 100-meter dash, not a 200-meter dash here. We're not interested in some brief emotional high. We're not interested in a quick sprint and then walking out of the stadium never to return. It's a marathon. It's a race that requires endurance, focus, and dogged determination, what we often refer to as persistence. It's amazing that God gives us many of these potently power-packed sentences in the Bible. We are encouraged to know that Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, the very initiator of our faith, is also our pace setter. The letter, or as I've already mentioned, the sermon of Hebrews painstakingly shows that Jesus is the superior way. So praise the Lord that we have this privilege of following the greatest pace setter to ever run the race. Spurgeon once said, "By perseverance, the snail reached the ark." Do you need any further encouragement that the race of faith that we are seeking to run is not about speed, but rather so much more about perseverance and persistence? Some questions for your consideration this morning at the outset of our message. Are we running our race with perseverance? All these years later, after the original recipients of the letter of Hebrews, are we running our race with perseverance? Are we keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, our pace setter? Are we showing signs of persistence in our commitment to God, in our commitment to worship Him, to walk with Him, to work with Him and for Him, to witness for Him, to welcome others into the family, our white shell W's? By perseverance, we press on. Perseverance really is the one day at a time step of faith to keep going in this race of faith. It's not a sprint. The marathon truly is a much better analogy. It's not how quickly we can reach the finish line, but how we keep going even when the road is long and hard. That is what we mean when we talk about perseverance. It's about staying the course, even when we're tired, discouraged, even when we're burnt out or feeling like giving up. Here's the concluding part of the letter. Here in the concluding part of the letter, the author of Hebrews uses this image of a race to describe the Christian life. And it is a race that requires training and preparation, which God supplies to His people over time along the way. And it is certainly a race that requires endurance. Just like a marathon, the Christian life requires perseverance. It's not something that we can do on our own. It's not something that we can do in our own strength. It's not a bootstrap religion, so to speak. It is a living and active faith. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us. We need the encouragement of brothers and sisters to help us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, our pace setter. It was a really important thing for the original audience of this letter to know that they were not alone. Hence, the Hall of Faith, chapter 11, a portion of what Devin already read for us. All the heroes of faith who were commended for their faith as they each ran a race that was unique to them, the race that God had before them, ever in the future. Let's walk through our text phrase by phrase. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, these These are the saints that had gone before them. These are the myriad of saints who have now gone before us as well, who have run their race and have now crossed the finish line. All of the deceased people of Hebrews 11 give witness to the value and blessing of living by faith. Motivation for running our race is not in the possibility of receiving praise from heavenly saints. Rather, the runner is inspired by the godly examples of those saints that they set during their lives as they ran their races that God had set out before them. So please note that the great crowd of witnesses is not spectators, but rather ones whose past life of faith encourages others to live that way as well, as in to keep running, to run with endurance. Did you know that our race begins the moment that we trust Christ for salvation? As Romans 10 tells us, if we confess with our mouths, with our tongue, and if we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord, that God saves us. So in other words, it's like that moment, the starter pistol goes off and our race begins. And Jesus, our pace setter, is in front of us, showing us the way. Another really significant part of our first verse is the next phrase, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. These are the things that slow us down, that trip us up, that keep us from running our race with endurance. They're the things that distract us, that cause us to take our eyes off Jesus, that cause us to lose our focus. And in a room this size, with this many people gathered here this morning, it's highly likely that many of us have a lot of overlap in what those things are that trip us up or distract us or cause us to lose our focus. And yet at the same time, it's also likely that in a room this large, that there are unique things to us that others might not struggle with. And yet it is our race to run. Do you know? Are you aware of the things that slow you down, that trip you up? Have you lived long enough now to know what it is that keeps you distracted from running the race of faith that the Lord has laid out before you? Hopefully you do know. And hopefully you are helped by your friends and by others and by God's word and by the Holy Spirit, causing you to take that next step of faith day in and day out. Verse 1 ends with another significant statement in the appeal, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And so, yes, for each and every one of us, there are unique challenges and struggles that we face. So let us persevere in this race of faith, understanding that we're running this race for a prize, and it's not just any prize, but the prize of eternal life with Jesus. This is the joy that was set before him, the joy that enabled him to endure the cross, despising its shame, as verse 2 tells us. This is the joy that is set before us, the joy that motivates us to keep running, to keep persevering, to keep pressing toward the goal. A good old dose of delayed gratification, which in our day and age is so much harder when we want everything instantaneous. We don't want the hard work of maturing in faith. We want to microwave ourselves for a minute and then feel like we're perfected. Maybe not. I've often felt that way. Lord, why is the struggle so hard? Why does it take so long to grow and mature? We know that our faith is not immediate, pie in the sky, by and by. Our run, our race of faith is a marathon, not a sprint. So let us remember as well that we're not running alone, but with a great cloud of witnesses who have run their races and are cheering us on, we too can run the race that God has laid before us, corporately, but also individually as followers of Jesus Christ. Let us also remember to lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. It seems as though the main encumbrance weighing down the Hebrews was the Levitical system. stifling legalism. And so in the ancient realm, the athlete would strip away every piece of unnecessary clothing before competing in the race. The outward things of emphasized by the Levitical system, they not only impede, but they also ensnare. And sin in our context in here in verse 1 focuses first on the particular sin of unbelief, as in those Hebrews refusing to turn away from the Levitical sacrifices to the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that's where Hebrews is an intense sermon, where the author is appealing to prove and show that Jesus is the superior way, not the old covenant system. That has been God's plan from the beginning. We can also, however, interpret that by going broader as well to any other sins cherished by the unbeliever. And so as we continue this great passage from Hebrews and consider it, we're drawn to the figure of Jesus, who we're told in verse 2 is the founder and perfecter of our faith. And this is a powerful description that also warrants our intention. So look again at verse 2 with me. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Sorry, that's what I want to key in on right now. Firstly, the term founder suggests that Jesus is the originator, the actual initiator of our faith. He is the one who sets the pace. He's the one who leads the way, so to speak. In the context of the race metaphor, he is the one who has run the race before us and now showing us how it can and should be done. And please note, it wasn't easy. He endured the cross. He endured that agonizing, slow, asphyxiating, pull yourself up on those spikes through the feet so that you can take a breath, cruel punishment perfected by the Romans for killing criminals kind of death. The kind of death for the worst of the worst. And yet you and I know that the scriptural declaration is that Jesus was the perfect Son of God, the spotless Lamb of God, who certainly didn't deserve the cross by any stretch of the imagination. And yet we are told went willingly to complete and fulfill the will of God the Father. He endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God, which is the place of power and authority and honor. It's also the place of subordination, implying that the Son is under the authority of the Father. Well, theologically, we know that to be true by the teaching of John's Gospel in chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 specifically. Our faith is deep and lovely. This is the path that he has marked out for us, the race that he has run and invites us to run. Remember the great text from Philippians chapter 1 in our recent series? For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, okay, that's one element, but also to suffer for him. This race is a race of endurance with great suffering and challenge, kind of always in view. Secondly, Jesus is also described as the perfecter of our faith. This suggests that not only does he initiate our faith, but he also brings it to completion. Praise the Lord that he doesn't just fire the starter's pistol, start the race, and then leave us to our own devices. He stays with us, guiding us, strengthening us by his Holy Spirit, helping us to keep going when the going gets tough. He is the one who ensures that we are able to finish the race. And again, that great promise from Philippians chapter 1 that we love so much, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, who brought you to that point of, God, your gospel, your good news is so good, boom, starter's pistol goes off, I'm running, I'm in the race, I'm in the game. And now he's the same God who has promised to carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. That is good news for us. Consider some passages from Hebrews 2, 10 and 11. For it was fitting that he, reference to Jesus, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation, there's the word, the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Or how about Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9? Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. That's phenomenal. Hebrews 7, 25. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. How amazing is that? A couple of key passages in the sermon that is Hebrews, leading us to the application portion of chapter 12. This dual role of Jesus as both the founder and perfecter of our faith is incredibly reassuring. It reminds us that we're not alone in our faith journey. We have a guide, we have a mentor, we have a coach who has run the race before us and who stays with us every step of the way. You often hear it said here on Sunday mornings, praise the Lord that he has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. That's our God. The Greek word for founder in our text is archegos, which can be translated as author or leader or pioneer or prince. It's used in Acts 3:15 to describe Jesus as the author of life. And in Acts 5:31, the word is used to describe him as leader and savior in the ESV rendering, or as prince and savior in the New Living Translation. This gives us a deeper understanding of Jesus' role in our faith. He's not just a passive observer, but rather an active participant, a leader, a pioneer, if you will, who blazes a trail for us. Verse 2 began with looking to Jesus as we run our race. This is our call to action, our call to focus, quite literally, to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our pace setter. So, dear White Shell, in the midst of the challenges and distractions that we each face, we are called, we are invited to keep our gaze firmly fixed on Jesus. And it is worth noting again that the author of Hebrews doesn't just tell us to look to Jesus, but he also gives us a corresponding reason why we are to do so. He tells us that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. This is a reminder that Jesus didn't run his race in a vacuum. He had a purpose. He had a goal. He had a prize in view that he was striving for. And that prize was not just his own glory, but our salvation as well, and the joy of accomplishing his mission for the Father's glory. Jesus persevered so that he might receive the joy of accomplishment of the Father's will. Here's another way the Bible describes that reality. He endured the cross for the joy of bringing us into a relationship with the Father, so that we too could rejoice and praise and glorify the good name of God. Look at 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for all the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. I get goosebumps with that verse. How extraordinary is that good gospel news, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Or how about Ephesians 2:13 this morning? But now in Christ Jesus, you, yes, you, us, who were once far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The starter's pistol goes off when we're in Christ and our race has begun. So, dear White Shell, as we run our race of faith, we're not alone. We have an extraordinary pace setter, one who we are told is the founder and perfecter of our faith, the one who sets the pace and brings our faith to completion. And so as we run, we are to keep our eyes fixed on him, focusing on his example and drawing strength from his endurance. This is what the author of Hebrews is trying to commend to the recipients of his letter. It's possible. Consider all the examples of those that I've just told you about in chapter 11. Draw strength from their example, but more importantly, draw strength from the example of Jesus, the pinnacle of perfection, the pinnacle of the Father's will for life and for mankind. The Christian life is depicted in our passage this morning, likened to a marathon race. It requires physical stamina, but it also requires mental fortitude. It is a race that demands persistence, and persistence is defined by the good old dictionary, is firm or obstinate continuance in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. Not a sentence that you'll say to someone every day, but what a picture. What are you doing? I'm persisting in faith. I'm not giving up. I'm going to take another step. Even though it hurts, I'm going to keep going. Persistence is the ability to keep going, to keep pushing, to keep striving, even when the odds are stacked against you, even when your muscles and your body are screaming to give up, to just pack it in, to walk to 7-Eleven and get a Slurpee instead. No, don't quit. Don't give up. A.W. Tozer, one of the giants of a prior generation, has written, "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error or shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly." That quote captures the idea of persistence. And dear Whiteshell, this morning I ask you, what cause is there in our world more worthy than the cause of Christ? More worthy than others seeing and tasting for themselves the goodness and the glory of God found in the gospel? Is there any more worthy cause? So therefore, dear Whiteshell, let us challenge ourselves, even today, to run our race. The race that is set before each of us, and to run it with persistence. Because there is joy. There is great joy ever before us. So let's keep running the race of faith, and let us run with endurance. For one day, as already mentioned by Ed, our faith will be sight, and that will be a glorious day. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for your great word, for the challenge that we receive from it, for the encouragement that we receive from it to keep pressing on with endurance. So Lord, we would pray simply this morning that you would help us to persist, that you would please fill us with your strength, with your courage, with your joy as we continue our race of faith. Lord, we pray now as well for Lanny as she continues her race by following your command to be baptized. And so, Lord, we pray even this afternoon that you would give her much joy as we celebrate with her and cheer her on in her race of faith. God, thank you again for the privilege of today. In Jesus' name we pray these things.